Merry Christmas. I've been waiting to say that. Merry Christmas. Christine will affirm that I've been saying that since, well, for a long time. Most of you would think I was a freak. Hey, good morning and welcome on site, online. Always good to be with those who trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. My name is Roger, if I haven't met you, and the good news is, well, some good news, Pastor Myron will be back next week, so we wish them safe travels. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be, if it's Christmas, you got to read Luke chapter 2 at some point, right? Today kicks off a traditional season of Advent, and if you're newer to this Jesus thing, one of the things to remember is that the word Advent simply means arrival or the arrival, right? Today kicks off a traditional season where we look forward to what we celebrate at Christmas, right? Which is the birth of Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah. And classically, Advent has four themes: hope, joy, faith, and love. So today we kick it off where it all begins, with hope. And the theme for this year's Advent celebration, honoring of Advent, is make room. Make room for Advent blessings. And today, make room for hope. If you've got kids, or you ever were a kid, you probably understand what it's like to anticipate something, like what you're going to unwrap under the Christmas tree, and it's just sitting there taunting you, right? And then you finally get to rip the whole thing open, unless you're in my house. See, I grew up with parents who realized that somebody might not be able to control themselves, picking it up and shaking it. So they'd switch up the name tags, right? So you're anticipating that big old present's got my name on it. Nope, that one's for my sister. But God, of course, doesn't play games. And in fact, the very first Advent, that very first season of anticipation, actually might have been culminated in what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but it goes back a long way. This isn't talking about days or weeks. The promise of a coming Savior had been around for a good long time. Let's go back to that time 2,000 years ago that we celebrate at Christmas, and the world, the biblical world, but I think probably safe to say the whole world, was a mess. Particularly for the Jews, the Israelites, living in their own land, occupied by the Romans. That was a mess. They occupied Israel. They collected taxes from them. Times were hard. And harder still, despite the long history of God working in their lives, was how long it had been that they've been waiting. In fact, by the time you get to Jesus and the New Testament, there hadn't been a prophet for 400 years. Did you know that? You go from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, it's like 400 years. So imagine you're waiting, and it's not just what grandpa said, it's what great, 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 great grandpa or grandma said about the promise of God. Now, interestingly, today we're going to look at a character that we often blow past named Simeon. And this is actually not the birth of Jesus. You get all that. You'll read Luke chapter 2 again. But a little later in Luke chapter 2 is the story of something that happens when Jesus is but a few weeks old. Now, Simeon, probably like most Jews, at least culturally and religiously, since it was kind of baked into the entirety of their culture, knew some things from the scriptures. 600 years earlier, Israel wasn't just under oppression by the Romans. Before that, they were in exile in Babylon. So they got conquered and not only lost their homeland, but most of them got shipped off to a foreign pagan nation. And while they were there, the prophet Isaiah, or I should say God, through the prophet Isaiah, said this, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. So if you, like the Israelites of Jesus' day, are looking for signs of hope, maybe in a messed up world, there's good news for you. The earliest days of Jesus' infancy are also important to look at because, of course, he was the Messiah promised centuries and centuries earlier who would be God's agent of salvation. For Israel, and ultimately all peoples, everywhere. So now, like then, we have signs of hope in which we can anchor our confidence as we make room for Advent blessings. Let us pray and read this passage in Luke. Lord God, there are times when our hearts cry out, O come, Emmanuel, God with us, ransom captive Israel. Lord, we need a Savior. Our world needs a Savior. Our country needs a Savior. And there is none but you. May we see you clearly and fall in love with you more deeply today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 22, we're going to read to verse 35, and then we'll just kind of go back and point out a number of things that are places we could make room for hope, make room for Advent blessings. I'm going to use one with a larger font. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, meaning set apart, offered up, and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord. Just so that we are clear, biblical hope isn't wishful thinking. Like I hope I get the 151 electronics kit for Christmas kind of thing, right? I hope I win the lottery. Hope in a biblical sense is confident assurance that expects something based not on what we wish, but on something outside of us. It's assured expectation based on the foundation, the sure foundation of God's promises. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Biblical hope is confidence that God is who he says he is, and he has done and will do all that he has promised to do. So today I want to give you like five little aspects of hope, and we'll go back through our scriptures. The first of which is this. Hope is meant for normal life, for real life. If you hang out around me any amount, you know that a phrase that I use to describe myself often is a keeping it real kind of guy. That's why we wear these up on stage. It's where we all live day to day, right? So in verses 22 to 24, what do we see? In fact, let's back up one. While you're looking at your Bible, look at verse 21. It says, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, Jewish culture didn't name the child until the eighth day. What are Joseph and Mary doing? They're being obedient. They're following the law. They are doing their best to adhere to the law that had been given to and through Moses, right? Meaning their hearts are demonstrating that they're doing this. But think about what it's like to have an eight-day-year-old baby, right? You're not sleeping. Somebody's not eating. Things are a mess. You just cleaned out poop that just went up the back of a onesie. Come on, that's funny. Poop up the back of a onesie. If you don't think that's funny, you probably haven't had children yet. But catch this. They made room in the midst of what is no doubt a really hectic life, doing real life, feeding, bathing, changing. They made room in normal life to do what God said to do. Hope is meant for normal life. God designed life so that we could do life like that. Now, point out one thing. When you're in Luke chapter 1, this is slightly outside of the text, but it's useful. When you're in Luke chapter 1, and Gabriel, the angel, shows up and says, Mary, you are most favored among women. Did Mary start living a righteous life after something miraculous had happened? No, she had been living a righteous life, attempting to do the will of God before something miraculous happened. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, the same is true for Joseph. Matthew actually calls Joseph a righteous man. And we'll see that, spoiler alert, we'll see the same here momentarily for Simeon. So in the middle of ordinary faithfulness, the Holy Spirit is already preparing, in a way, for a prophetic encounter that we just got done reading about. Which gets us to the second point. Hope endures through long waiting. Hope gives us endurance through long waiting. Look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And we'll just read part of the next verse. He says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, connection. Here's Joseph and Mary. They're on their way to the temple. Just like the law prescribed that the naming of the baby would be on the eighth day, the period of purification, according to Leviticus, the period of purification for a new mom was 40 days. So what did they do? Got to go to the temple. Got to honor the law. They're on their way to the temple. It's been 38 days, they had to go 5 miles, which, you know, it's not like they could just strap Jesus into a car seat, right? Whether they were on foot, on a donkey, we don't know. There weren't any car seats. So here's Joseph and Mary moving according to God's law, trying to be obedient. And here's Simeon over here. And the truth is, we don't know anything about Simeon other than what's right here. Most people think he was old, particularly because if you keep reading, Anna had been around staying in the temple for the whole time, for a long, long time. But what we do know is, according to the text, he was righteous and devout, and he has been waiting. Now, we don't know what the timing was of the Holy Spirit telling Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. But look right smack in the middle of verse 25. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that word consolation means comfort, right? Why? And there's multiple places in the Bible that speak to the Messiah as the consolation of Israel. Why? Because this is the one who brings salvation. You might call it liberation. You might call it comfort. You might call it healing. People look at this and they go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and chapter 49. This is the consolation when God says, in the midst of your exile, in the midst of the oppression that you're in the middle of, I will send comfort. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, those of you who've been around the Bible thing might also remember that there's a phrase sometimes in the Bible called the hope of Israel. Very related, but not exactly the same. The consolation of Israel is vindication of all those promises, the promises made centuries before. The hope of Israel is around who Jesus is with his second coming. Significant overlap, exactly the same theme. You and I are still waiting. Hope endures through long waiting. So we make room to listen, knock on wood, we make room to listen to the Holy Spirit, listen for the Holy Spirit. How long until he says something, may say something, may not. But the endurance, the faithfulness is going, Lord, I'm going to trust you today, even when it's a mess. Even when I don't seem to hear your voice, I know your promises. I will keep on keeping on. My uncle, we won't do that. My Uncle Dennis was a semi-professional bass fisherman, like largemouth bass. That was kind of unusual in Oregon, but I grew up in and around competitive bass fishing, and he always had this thing where it was like getting right down to the end of a tournament, and he's like, one more cast. Okay, we got to go, but one more cast, right? And one of the things that he used to say that's just totally stuck in my head was, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I kind of think about that like, hope enduring through long waiting, right? It's like, I don't know, is that one more cast going to pay off? I don't know, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. Because breakthrough doesn't always happen on our timeline. Oh, it never happens on my timeline. That gets us to point number three. Hope reveals itself in God's timing. Hope reveals itself in God's timing. Let's pick back up in verse 27 where we were. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon goes into the temple courts, which, by the way, was just, as we mentioned, is exactly where Joseph and Mary were headed. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, I probably don't have to tell you that if Luke, the historian, has already captured that God's promise to Simeon was that he wouldn't die, right, until he had seen the Messiah. And now that same guy, Simeon, is going, "You may now dismiss your servant in peace." We can connect the dots, right? He's going, okay. I mean, does anybody want to die? I mean, as a business partner of mine who passed some years ago with pancreatic cancer said, he says, "I'm afraid of dying, but I'm not afraid of death." Can you imagine facing it with that kind of peace? We can. Making room for God's timing might be as obvious as the Holy Spirit leads you somewhere. I don't even know where I'm going. The Holy Spirit said, "Go to the church." I go to the church. Bam, that's the baby we've been waiting for centuries. Only God could put that together. Only God could equip Simeon to notice and know. Now, I don't know about you, but here comes, you walk into church, you got a newborn baby in your hands, and then here comes an old man who comes and takes your baby out of your arms. You're probably smacking him upside the head. A little different culture then. But Simeon recognizes what others overlook. And the baby in his arms is the fulfillment of decades of prayer. So like rain after a long drought, or a melody that lands on just the right note, a promise kept is the loudest sound in the world. God doesn't forget his promises. And of all people in the entirety of the history, no one has ever had more information about God than we do here in 2025. And some of God's promises are those that are yet future to us. They are the history that hasn't happened yet. And here is Simeon, who breaks into song. Some believe actually that he was singing this. He breaks into song. And it's like, "Look what I just got for Christmas." And it's not just for me. It's for the whole world. Hope shines beyond us. Continue on in the song, verse 31. Or verse 30 says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." This is not secret, right? Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, they see the sun, moon, stars, they are without excuse. And yet, right here, it says, "You have prepared in the sight of all nations a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. You're probably connecting the dots and figuring this out. But Jesus and hope and salvation, all interchangeable. Will we make room for God's salvation? My eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking at the baby. My eyes have seen your salvation, the hope of Israel, the glory of Israel. And as is evident in multiple places in the Old Testament, God's heart is and always has been for all people at all time in all places. A good sovereign God will make sure that those who should be in heaven will be. But many knew that part of the Bible, that salvation would come, and here is Simon making room for God's plan being even bigger than most of the Jews or the Israelites at that time would know or acknowledge, right? We see plenty of stories following this when Jesus gets in the business of Pharisees going, "Don't you know your scriptures?" Simeon made room for God's plan being bigger than just that moment that we celebrate at Christmas. In fact, back in Genesis chapter 22, God's promise, part of God's promise to Abraham, was that Israel, the nation that was birthed through Abraham, would be a light to the world. The nations, plural, would be reached through his offspring. So Simon here doesn't romanticize hope. He makes room for the Holy Spirit, who also then explains that it has a cost. Hope gets real about the cost. Verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, here's the crazy thing about prophecy. This is a prophetic statement. Did Simeon know exactly what he was saying? He may or may not have, because this is the Holy Spirit speaking through him here. One way to think about prophecy sometimes is like, I heard from a prof once, it's kind of like when you look down a mountain range and there's multiple peaks, and there's this one that you can tell is a little nearer and that one that's a little farther. But when you're looking, it kind of looks like they're right like that. Don't know exactly. And it doesn't make any difference relative to our point today, because the Holy Spirit, speaking through the pen of Luke, points out that hope gets real about the cost. Real hope is not naive. And Simeon speaks truth, hard truth to Mary. This child will divide hearts. Because the gospel, the good news of the person and work of Jesus, reveals what is hidden. The cost, then, is not a source of discouragement. It's just a recognition that until Jesus comes again, we're still going to deal with sickness and hunger and pain and disease and disorder and oppression and injustice and the things that are part of this world till Jesus comes again and sets it all things right. Biblical hope looks to the future. It's that confident expectation or assurance that's based on the sure foundation of God's promises, the supreme promise of which is that Jesus came to offer salvation to all. So as we wrap, what do we take away? Some of it, I hope, should be obvious given the way that we kind of went down those points. But We've got a lot of things to celebrate for Christmas. I know some of you are doing great, and some of you are struggling. Some of you got little ones that seem to have their whole life ahead, and some of you may know someone that's close to their last breath. So make room for hope is a lot like saying make room for Jesus. I don't know all of you. If there is someone here today or listening online who hasn't trusted Jesus, a historical person, the person that God sent his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. Death is not the end. There's an eternal destiny in front of us. And you got to make room in your heart for Jesus by saying he is Lord, he is King, he is sovereign, and he is Savior. You realize when we say Jesus is Lord and Savior, those two words go together in a manner that should give us hope. Make room for Jesus in real life. Each of you who have shown up this morning have done that. When you show up on Wednesday night, when you show up at Tacoma Rescue Mission, when you show up with however it is that God motivates you to serve others. Sometimes that might be a prompting of the Holy Spirit. I know from some of you, from some of the stories I've heard in just the last couple months, thought God was kind of nudging me that direction. Is not unlike Simeon going, God promised me this. And notice that the record doesn't go, it doesn't have Simeon going, well, so how am I going to know? Is he going to have black hair? Is he going to have brown hair? Make room for Jesus in real life. Give yourself margin to be able to get there. And make room for Jesus in a light that shows hope to those in darkness. The book of Peter was written to Christians who were experiencing severe persecution. They were scattered after the fall of Jerusalem. And interestingly, when you get into chapter 3, he presumes that the way you live your life will make people curious. Sometimes that might be explicitly talking about Jesus or sharing the gospel. Sometimes it might be somebody at work going, why don't you participate in all that gossip and all that other stuff? Why do you live differently? Make room for Jesus in a light that offers hope to those in darkness. Live out hope in the everyday practice of simple obedience and anchoring yourself in God's promises. Welcome Jesus into your story. Maybe with open hands, like an old man picking up a baby going, my eyes have seen the salvation. So that hope becomes visible in your life. And then let your hope shine outwardly with honesty and confidence, becoming a steady light for those around you. Merry Christmas. May it be one of hope. Lord Jesus, we honor you as the hope, the salvation, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And Lord God, I just pray for those hearing my voice right now, Lord, that it would not be my voice at all, Lord, that you would prick our hearts wherever wherever someone is at right now, Lord, that even in the midst of mess, that we've got something to be hopeful about. Lord, that we can look to you and know that you set all things right. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.